This is the Secrets of Attorney Marketing podcast from Speakeasy Marketing. Discover how to enhance your reputation as an attorney and outmarket your competitors.
This is Richard Jacobs with Speakeasy Marketing, and today I have a guest that I wanted to have for actually several years now, Mark Premack. He works with Innovative Attorney Solutions, or Innovative Legal Solutions. They do marketing for attorneys, but what we're going to focus on today is direct mail, physical paper mail that's sent out to, for instance, people arrested for DUI, that kind of thing. So how you doing, Mark?
Great. How are you, Rich?
Good, good. Yeah, I appreciate you taking the time. So yeah, I want to focus on direct mail today because there's a lot of hubbub about it. Some people love it, some people hate it, some people think it's unethical, some people think it's great. So we're going to get into all those details. But personally, I've built a lot of my business on it, direct mailing some of my mail pieces, and I know a lot of attorneys have done really well with it. So that's why we're going to talk about it today.
Absolutely.
So, So Mark, tell me again the name of your company. I might have messed it up, and you know.
Sure. So the name of the company is Innovative Attorney Marketing.
Okay.
And we've been in business for about 15 years now.
Oh wow! All right. And have you been providing direct mail for attorneys for all that time?
Yeah, about 15 years ago. We started, we're incorporated in New Jersey. There was no attorney direct mail marketing. It didn't exist. The industry didn't exist. We saw an opportunity and, you know, timing and luck and skill built a direct mail marketing company. Thus, I've been dealing with 1,000-plus attorneys over that span of time.
Oh, wow. A lot of clients. Okay. When you first started it, did you have to go to war with the state bar associations? Like, how hard was it to get this started?
Well, it was pretty easy to get it started. However, over time, there were, I guess, senators that were trying to pass bills to limit, you know, attorney direct mail marketing. It was mostly revolved around personal injury mailings, which was kind of a gray area. They weren't so much after, you know, DUI, criminal, traffic, bankruptcy type mailings, but we fought each time, maybe four or five times, and won every time. You can't shut down attorneys from sending marketing pieces to drive business and help defendants navigate the system.
Yeah, why was the direct mail being attacked? What was the reasoning behind it?
Well, it was mostly behind personal injury with ambulance chasing. It was senators trying to make a name for themselves by sponsoring a bill. It really had no basis at all to shut that down, but you know, politics is politics, and they never got anywhere with it.
Okay. And from my understanding, each state has different rules on what's allowed in direct mail, but so far I haven't found many of the state's rules to be too difficult to overcome. What do you see out there? Are there any states that just won't allow it?
Yeah, there's definitely a criteria that varies from state to state. There's attorney guidelines in most states that allow direct mail marketing. Other states don't allow the use of data for direct mail marketing for commercial purposes, for advertising purposes. And there are many, many states that don't have integrated state systems or an avenue by which to collect data that works for attorney direct mail marketing, which, you know, needs to go out very quickly from an arrest or a ticket occurrence.
Okay. So what states do you guys offer direct mail in right now?
So right now there's probably about 10 states that we have comprehensive data. There are New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Maryland, Ohio, Florida, Texas, Maricopa, Arizona, Illinois, Wisconsin, Connecticut. We're about to open Virginia.
Nice.
I think pretty much all of them from the top of my head.
Yeah, one quick question. You said Maricopa, so that's Maricopa County in Arizona?
Yeah, so in certain states like Arizona, they don't have comprehensive systems that speak to each other. So Maricopa County is a very large county and represents a significant percentage of the population, and we're able to acquire DUI, misdemeanors, and felonies out of there. For attorney direct mail marketing, just the felonies are really timely enough. At the moment, there's probably like 3,100 of those in a given month. DUIs and the misdemeanors are not as timely, but they're very useful for other types of mailings.
Gotcha. Okay. And I don't know, did you include New York and New Jersey, of course, right, in the states you have?
New York, I don't think I mentioned, but New York, we do have the five boroughs of New York.
Okay.
To the extent of, you know, criminal DUI and just some serious traffic.
Okay. And what practice areas? You mentioned DUI/DWI, traffic, criminal. What other ones do you have data for?
Right. So in every state, the core data that we acquire is criminal, traffic, DUI type stuff. Okay. In all 50 states, I pick up notice of defaults and sheriff sales, which can be used for bankruptcy type mailings. And that's catch as catch can, depending on, you know, what counties you're looking for. Some counties have more data than others. In New Jersey, for example, which is our core state, we have a lot of other things. We have special civil. There's list pendens. There's landlord-tenant. There's bankruptcy, foreclosure-type mailings that could be done. In Pennsylvania, we just started doing civil divorce, child custody. We're getting into a little bit of the personal injury side of things by starting to collect accident reports in certain municipalities in New Jersey, and soon it'll be the whole state of Ohio that I'll have crash reports for. So we're always looking to expand into areas that can benefit and help a law firm generate and drive business to their practice.
Yeah, that's great. You said Virginia is going to be opening up when, do you think?
Virginia should be live around the fourth quarter of this year, I would say.
Okay. Any other states that are coming in the next 6 months or year or less?
We're actually we're always looking at states coming live, and some of these states that we already have data are not permissible to use the data for marketing purposes. There's two or three other states that I wouldn't mention at this time, but we're always looking to expand, and we're not going to promote a state until we're confident that we have comprehensive data that's going to be timely enough for a defendant to respond, for an attorney to retain and send a letter of rep and make happen.
Okay. All right. Gotcha. And then how much does it cost to actually send the mail? I guess there's the name itself. There's the licking and stamping and stuffing in the envelope, the postage and all that. So what does each element cost?
Sure. So there's basically two components to the pricing. There's a name charge and a mailing charge. In most states, you can just pay a name charge and mail your own. Most attorneys want us to do turnkey and do the whole thing for them. So name charge and mailing charge. And that'll vary depending on the state. For example, in Pennsylvania, we have a physical army on the ground that goes into each DJ, as they call them, district justice, which is a court, on a weekly basis collecting all the criminal complaints. This is a very expensive proposition to send live bodies in collecting data as opposed to an integrated state system that we can, you know, access a mainframe and pull down data. So basically name charges on the low end could be as low as 25 cents a record. And in some cases, like in New York, as high as $3 a record.
Okay.
So it just depends on the state. Most states are probably around, you know, 40 cents a record.
Okay. So we could take ballpark, let's say 50 cents, just to, you know, set it at a right level. And then how much for the fulfillment part, the licking, stamping, printing, all that stuff?
Right. So fulfillment generally runs at like 79 cents a letter, 7-9, and that includes the first-class postage, the printing of the letters, the personalized window envelope, importing of variable data, collation and fulfillment on a daily or weekly basis or as needed. And then there's some upgrades to that 79 cents, like if you want to upgrade to bonded paper, it adds 7 cents, or if you wanted to print color, it adds 15 cents. So there are upgrades that you can go from there depending on, you know, volume and what your target market is.
So it sounds like attorneys are looking at $1.25 to $1.50 out the door per name as a ballpark. Is that fair?
Yeah, I would say it's more like $1 to $1.29, you know, turnkey, all in for the most
part.
And
in some states,
if you're hitting Pennsylvania or New York, which has a higher name charge.
Right, there it could be up to $4 or something like that. Okay.
$3.
But you have clients that are doing well in New York and Pennsylvania, so even though the cost is higher, they're still profiting, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the ROI has to be there or we wouldn't pursue a given state. And typically when it's more expensive, it's better because there's barriers of entry. You know, companies just can't acquire the data. You got to send somebody in. They charge exorbitant amounts of money at the county level to acquire the data, and then you have to process the data. But at the end of the day, there's less attorneys doing it, and all we care about is ROI. So if you're spending $1 and you're generating $3, our clients are pretty happy. And that return on investment will vary depending on how mature a market is or immature a market is. So, you know,
right.
I'm comfortable 2 to 3 times returns on investment is what I expect. I think attorneys are getting 3 to 5 times in most states.
Have you had any
superstars
that reported back to you that it was just blowing it out of the water?
I have friends along the years that report back, you know, good information, but most attorneys hold back. They don't want you to know that, you know, they spent $1,000 and generated $25,000, probably for fear that I'll raise my rates or something. But which I wouldn't. I'd be thrilled. That would just, you know, that would just be great information to hear. I just look at a minimum ROI that I would expect, given what I do know.
Right.
And that's really, for the most part, 2 to 4 times what you spend over, say, an 8-week period.
Yeah, the reason I ask is that a lot of attorneys are gun-shy about spending money because they feel like, you know, are they going to get a return? But that's what I like about direct mail is that you're not stuck for a year. I mean, what's your minimum engagement period?
Right. So I don't lock any attorneys into long-term contracts because it's a partnership mentality. And if you're not making money, I don't need to take, you know, your money because contractually you're obligated to keep mailing, doing something that's not working. Generally speaking, if you're mailing enough letters, this is a numbers game type of marketing, direct mail is. So if you're mailing enough letters by the end of week 8, you should see the return on investment. Whatever that's going to be is what you can expect. We have call tracking numbers we put on letters. We're able to, you know, track the campaign, who's calling from the letters, and even sending text messages when you miss a call with that person's number. So we do a lot of cool things to ensure that you capture that call.
And then, this is backing up a little bit. When you say you provide data, what is the data? Is it just name and the address of the person and the offense, or what are the fields?
Well, it'll vary depending on what the state will put out, but for most states it'll basically be first name, middle, last name, city, state, zip, issue date of the ticket or arrest, any applicable court date, statute number, description of the offense, birth date in many cases, and then some ancillary information, male, female,
gotcha.
Hispanic, non-Hispanic, that kind of information. Everything you would need to import into a letter to be very descriptive, so when that defendant receives it, they understand you're fully aware of what's going on in that defendant's life as it pertains to their arrest or ticket.
And who writes the letters?
Well, you do, Richard.
I've written some pretty good ones, but
yeah,
I mean, when I'm not involved.
Right, when you're not involved,
you know,
I have sample letters that I send out, you know, that attorney prospects can use as a guide in writing their own. So the attorney writes the letter. The messaging is important. You could spend 20, 30 minutes on the messaging, and I help them with the letter, so we go back and forth. I know this business inside and out. I've created the industry for the most part in the Northeast. So I've dealt with, again, thousands of letters, and I know how to format them. I know the attorney ethics and guidelines, what needs to be said and not said.
Nice.
And I kind of help them and hold their hand in creating the best possible letter that we can. That is, of course, if you don't.
Okay. I've seen some other companies out there that say they do direct mail. They're pretty restrictive, by the way. Are there any companies, without naming names, that are out there that are mailing the places they're not allowed to mail? And, you know, could an attorney have problems if they're working with one of these companies that, that does this?
Well, yeah, there's definitely that going on. I'm aware of some states where I get calls asking me for data, and in looking into the prospect of acquiring the data, learn that it's not permissible for commercial use or marketing. So we're dead in our tracks. We stop at that point. However, there
right.
are companies out there that are acquiring it one way or another and reselling it, and there are attorneys that are buying it and sending letters. But we do everything, you know, up and up. And if it's restricted, you know, there's contracts involved and acquisition of data and all that stuff, we won't break that or go into a state that, that an attorney will have any issues with, which is why if any of your attorney clients are interested in doing direct mail and they engage with us, they can feel secure that we're a company that takes that very seriously.
Yeah, that's great. That's really great. It's very important to know. And I know that worries a lot of attorneys. They got to make sure their license is good. There's no bar complaints and all that. So that's good.
You know, it's really straightforward what you can and cannot do. I mean, a lot of attorneys are nervous about it, but it's basically X, Y, and Z, and you're good. And the X is maybe putting the word advertisement on the letter. It's not saying you're going to jail for a speeding ticket, and it's maybe putting a disclaimer at the bottom. It's very straightforward. So we have all the guidelines and rules for each state. Make sure that our attorney client partners are covered.
That's great. Okay. When your letters go out, how fast do they go out? And the reason I'm asking this is, you know, I have my beliefs about it from my experience, but I know a lot of attorneys believe, oh, if you don't mail them right away, then they're going to hire someone else. So.
Yeah, I mean, they go out right away. So. As soon as an arrest or a ticket hits the state system or we're picking it up or whatever the acquisition process is, it comes in and gets distributed to whomever is purchasing those types of lists in those courts or in those counties, and letter goes out right away. In some cases, there's remail programs or there's court date pulls, what we call court date pulls. So, you know, a week from today, which is Wednesday, people have an upcoming court date, and this is for New Jersey in particular, and we will look and see who has a court date next Wednesday that has not yet retained an attorney, and we pull them again and send another letter out. Well, it's very interesting because about 65 to 70% of defendants who receive that second letter wind up calling at that point because they say, oh, man, I have court on Tuesday. I got to deal with this, or Wednesday in this case. I have to deal with this matter, and they pick up the phone and they retain an attorney. So getting back to the question, as far as at what point do you get them out right away, or does it matter if you get it out 3 days after? I think there's a case to be made, and especially for you know, is it criminal, is it DUI? Those defendants tend to wait till the last minute to lawyer up. Is it a mature market where you have a lot of letters on top of each other hitting a mailbox? Do you want to spread yours out? It's all good. For the most part, I think it's always best to get out into the mailbox as quickly as possible. However, that's not the end all by any means.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, so best practice you've seen is people will typically mail twice a week apart?
Best practice is, yeah. I mean, again, in certain states, you have that ability to do that based on court date polls and the type of information that we can disseminate, like is there an attorney attached to that record already? If there is, we're not going to pull it again, clearly. In other states, it's basically a one-and-done approach. You know, we get the data, we send a letter. However, I've done approaches where I'll just reach back 2 weeks later and grab that prior week's file from 2 weeks ago and just remail it all at once. So it's like you're hitting them early in the process, and then you're hitting them late in the game where they have court date that's approaching, and that's been very effective too. So there's lots of different nuances, lots of different ways to skin this cat and generate ROI and drive business.
Okay. you mentioned heavier paper. I think we talked once about, you know, stamping the outside envelope with various things like important, open immediately. Any other
right.
things you've seen done that will boost response or could boost response?
Well, I believe that the use of color definitely boosts response. I think there's been some studies that through the post office, Pitney Bowes, a variety of companies that are involved in direct mail that show that printing in color drives the eye. It improves openability rates. And as it relates to like upgrading paper or not, I think if you're mailing a lot of letters, probably doesn't pay to upgrade the paper because it absorbs too much cost. But you know, if you're mailing criminal or DUI stuff that generates a high fee, and you're only sending out 100 to 300 of these things a week, I mean, to add 15 cents is not going to break the bank, and probably worthwhile to differentiate yourself from the next letter. Right, but if you're mailing 2,000 traffic letters, you know, you can make $300 or $200 for a traffic event, doesn't pay at 2,000 times 15 cents, you know, another $350 a week.
Right. Gotcha. Okay.
Or $300 a week, yeah.
And conversion rates, you've seen, like you said, 2-to-1 and higher, sometimes 3-to-5-to-1?
I look for a minimum 2-to-3-time return on investment. In most states, some states it's 4 to 5. It depends on the state. It depends on, you know, how long marketing, direct mail marketing has been going on in that state, how many attorneys are sending letters. There's only so many people that are retaining attorneys. So clearly if you have 10 attorneys sending letters in a given state, they're going to share in all of that. And then when you add, you know, 30 more on top of them, it's just going to, you're going to have attrition. So 2-to-3 times is what my expectation is. Depending on the state, it'll vary. But 2-to-3 times at a minimum is my expectation.
Are there any states or metros that even you feel are just really tough or saturated, or is there always opportunity?
Well, I can pick like New Jersey, which is I think, a mature market, and I still expect a 2-to-3 time return there. So it doesn't matter how many letters are going, defendants are going to make calls, and if they like the attorney, they feel that they know what they're talking about, and they offer a competitive fee quote, they're going to get retained. And at the end of the day, I do still think or see a 2-to-3 time return in New Jersey. In places like Ohio, I think the potential for 4-to-6-to-10-time returns are there. I'm not sure exactly, but we just started in Ohio a few months back and maybe 6 months ago, and I have one in particular that said he derived 70% of his overall business from the mailers and couldn't be happier. So, again, I don't get exact feedback, but I extrapolate what I can based on conversations, and you know, I relay that information to other prospects, other attorneys that are calling to inquire about the service.
Gotcha. Okay. And then I have some attorneys that tell me, oh, I wouldn't do direct mail. It attracts crappy clients. You know, I have clients that come in and say, look at these letters I got. I would never hire those people. And then I hear other attorneys that, again, are doing direct mail and loving it. So do you feel like it attracts low-quality clients, or is that just really a myth in the mind of the person?
Well, I think you definitely, you're talking about criminal and DUI, you probably get the lower class of people, right? I mean, you and I are not necessarily committing crimes that we're getting busted for. However, we could, certainly.
Right.
And you could certainly pick up a client that's, you know, maybe upper middle class that has money and is just going to, just wants to you to take care of them. You know, that's the best possible client you could have. But I think most clients are what they are. And with small practitioners, you know, with small 1-to-3 attorney law firms, if you're in the game of reaching out and helping defendants, you're gonna have a whole array, most or many of which are on the lower scale. You know, it's all a very relative term. Bottom of the barrel. But they have money, and at the end of the day, it's all about return on investment, driving business to the firm.
That's true. What about other languages? You do any mailers in Spanish or other languages? Any areas where it's prominent?
Sure. So in certain states where we have, you know, Spanish surname tables, for example, we have the ability to deliver, you know, Spanish surnames to match up with a Spanish letter. So if you're a lawyer that speaks Spanish and you're going after that population, we can tailor a campaign to target, you know, Spanish surnames, so it's more directed towards, you know, what they're looking for, what the attorney's looking for in that regard.
That's great.
And that'll expand even more so in the near future when we launch our next iteration of our admin site, as we call it, which is our delivery mechanism.
Okay, got it. And I guess, yeah, we're getting close to the end. What have you seen that makes an attorney successful versus not in doing direct mail?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few things that separate success with failure, and it's pretty much direct mail is a numbers game. It's understanding that, throwing enough letters out there a week, because what you're looking for is consistency with regard to the incoming call volume. And once you've achieved that, you know you're going to close 40% of those. I think 40% is a percentage that I've come up with after, you know, questioning, you know, 20 attorneys. What the close rates are, the average 40%. So if you're getting, you know, 20 calls in a week and you're consistent with that, you know you're going to close your fair share of them.
How about a call rate? Do you, I know that, I mean, all this can vary, but do you have a ballpark call rate out of every 100 letters, how many calls you get?
So we started, I mentioned it earlier, putting call tracking numbers on the letters.
Mm-hmm.
So a call tracking number, you know, would be an area code, a local area code to you, and a number, any number, right, that we pull from the call tracker.
Right.
And we'll apply that number on the letter, so anybody that gets a letter and calls that number, it'll forward to your office or your cell phone, wherever you direct us to forward it to, and that allows us to track those calls. So until recently, we really didn't have great empirical data to kind of go back on. We have more and more data. And in that regard, I mean, I can throw some numbers at you, but I'd be pulling stuff out of the air. I think at the end of the day, we're still looking at ROI more so than anything else. Direct mail in general is a 1% response rate across the board in all industries. I think what we do, the synergies are so high between putting your message in the hands of a defendant that needs help at the time they need it. So, you know, it's going to be higher than the 1%. And at the end of the day, if you're spending, you know, $1,000 a week over 8 weeks, $8,000, you should generate $16,000 to $24,000 from that $8,000 spent. It's all about ROI to me. That's all I really care about at this point.
Yeah, it makes sense. The reason I ask is that, you know, how many letters are enough? That's what I was going to ask you. So if an attorney does 100 letters a week, that's probably a low volume with you, I'd guess, and they should expect, you know, four, maybe six or eight calls, but no more than that. So, you know, they shouldn't say, oh, well, I'm not getting a lot of calls. You know, worry about the calls you do get. Convert those people, but you got to know your – I just want them to have a feel for the expectation of the numbers. You know?
Sure. So on the numbers, you separate it into traffic, criminal, and DUI. And when it comes to traffic, you need to send out, you know, a lot more letters. You know, for example, I would say 700 letters a week is the right number if you're doing traffic. If you're doing criminal, it might be, you know, 150 to 200 letters a week. If you're doing DUI, the same, 150 to 200 letters. And that's because of the fees that you can generate, you know, with the traffic.
Right.
So it does vary depending on what you're targeting, what the state is, how much competition, and we could have that conversation, you know, should anybody want to reach out to me.
Okay, and then one more thing I hear a lot. I'll hear from attorneys, we tried direct mail and it worked, but then it stopped working. You know, I say, what does that mean? And we get into it. But I think what a lot of attorneys experience that do it is some of them will do it for a while. It works well. Maybe other competitors come in and their response may drop. Do you have people that come to you and say, help, you know, our ROI has gone away. We're using someone else and their list seems to have changed and now we're not getting clients. I mean, do you have any diagnosis, and repair in what you do?
Yeah, I mean, I see that all the time, actually, and there's a lot of factors that can cause that. You know, one is you get into a market that's immature, and then over time matures, so there's more attorneys sending letters on top of you. So your ROI just naturally kind of diminishes. At that point, you need to, you know, employ the best practices for, you know, maybe upgrading to color, upgrading the paper, changing the messaging, call tracking,
right.
and of course, online and offline marketing work hand in hand. So, you know, if you're working on all cylinders, you're going to maximize the effectiveness of any campaign.
Okay, very good. So for attorneys that want to contact you, which I highly recommend they do, you know, in the qualifying states, how do they get in touch with you? What's the best way, by email and phone and all that?
Well, my direct line is 609-254-3750. They can just call me and mention your name, Richard Jacobs, and I'll take special care of them.
I appreciate it.
And of course, they can go on the website.
Okay, yeah. Tell me the website and the email, too, so they have three different ways to contact you.
Right, so they can contact me at Mark, M-A-R-K, at innovativeattorneymarketing.com, or they can go on the website, www.innovativeattorneymarketing.com, and just fill out a short form, and I'll reach out to them.
What if they send you a direct mail letter? I'm just kidding.
They send me a direct mail letter?
I'm just teasing you. Yeah.
Oh,
they can certainly do that.
For my DUI charge or my
No, I mean to ask for your services. I was just teasing you on that, that's all. But yeah,
okay.
Phone, email, and website are good. So, okay, anything else that you want to add I should have asked you that we missed out on?
No, I think you covered most of it. I mean, there's always additional questions that an attorney may have, and I'm happy to answer it. And frankly, I probably have most every answer because I've been doing this for so long and have dealt with so many attorneys in generating ROI over the last 15 years. So feel free to reach out.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, thanks for being on the call.
You've been listening to the Secrets of Attorney Marketing podcast from Speakeasy Marketing. Call 888-225-8594 or email RJ at speakeasymarketinginc to enhance your reputation and outmarket your competitors.